The excerpt I'm going to read is from the Ministry of Healing by Stanley Howard Frodsham. It says, in one city, Smith Wigglesworth was working hard for a month with three meetings each day. God was at work among the people. Cancers were cured, legs strengthened, the deaf were being healed, all manner of healings were being wrought, and best of all, souls were being saved. One day, the chief pastor, who had built and paid for the hall where the meetings were being held, and who also had two assistant pastors, said, there is a lady in this city who is very ill. I feel that if she would be healed, the effect on the people would be very great. Would you visit her, Brother Wigglesworth? He replied that he was very busy with three meetings each day, with praying for the sick and assisting those who were seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that this did not leave him very much free time. However, the pastor persisted and pressed the matter from day to day, emphasizing the social standing of the lady and her husband in the city, and also the effects that such a healing was bound to have on all that knew him. Well, Brother Smith Wigglesworth said, how can we fit in such a visit? It was finally decided that the call should be made on our way to the evening meeting. Because of the status of the lady and her family, all three pastors accompanied Smith Wigglesworth, my wife, and me to the house, which was located in the best part of the city. We drew up to the door, rang the doorbell, and were ushered into a palatial room. From there, we moved into a very large bedroom. There, like an esteemed monarch on a throne, sat the gorgeously robed lady in a rainbow-colored pile of lovely embroidered cushions. Smith Wigglesworth stood and stared at such a sight. Then he said, well, you certainly look comfortable. I beg your pardon, she snapped. I said, you look very comfortable. She let loose in a storm the abuse which left her exhausted. Oh, he said, I see that you are not ready for me yet. Good evening. And so saying, he walked out of the house and entered the waiting automobile. My wife and I followed him out and ventured to suggest that he had been a bit harsh with the lady. I know my business, he said. The pastors remained in the bedroom for some time while in an endeavor to placate the lady. When it came out, they pleaded with him to go back in and pray for her, but he was adamant, saying, no, she's not ready for me. Let's go to the meeting. We were all very much disturbed in our spirits over the affair, but if he felt anything, he certainly did not show it, for he went through the service with a mighty unction of God upon his preaching and upon praying for the sick. The next morning, we had the service at the usual time. The Spirit of the Lord was gracious with us, and at the close of the address, an invitation was given to all who wished to come nearer to God. Smith Wigglesworth said, if you move forward only a foot, you will be blessed. If you move forward a yard, you'll get more. If you come to the platform, we will pray for you, and God will meet your needs with his supply. All the audience moved, but a stately lady led them. In her desire to be first to get up front, she fell prostrate. It was a lady whom we had left in the bed the previous evening. After we had left her there, she deeply repented. God had healed her. And now at the morning service, she publicly consecrated her life to God. She was a broken woman, profuse in her apologies. Again, we had been wrong in our judgment, and God had vindicated Smith Wigglesworth's actions. What I shared a little bit, Doyle asked me to share a little bit about my college days, and I've shared a little bit before, and I'm going to share again. I grew up fourth grade. I entered the Methodist Church. I was the only one in my family that did. My family was the type that, you know, drove the daughter down to church in the morning and picked her up after the service. They were very religious to drive me down to the church and pick me up after the service. And I shared with before that at the age of 12 in the Methodist church in the town that I grew up in, God met me and said, I wanted your life. Well, when I was a junior in high school, I switched Methodist churches and I went to the one in Rootstown, Ohio, which is another small town about 5 miles away. Now, the only way I can remember that I heard about tithing had to have come through the Methodist church. And if any of you have been in the Methodist church, you know that for a minister to preach tithing, you had to be kind of bold because your whole congregation could mutiny on you. I mean, that just wasn't spoken of in the Methodist Church, but I cannot think of any other place that I saw it. And I saw it when I was just beginning college, and it was spoken to me, and I began to do that when I was a sophomore. Well, actually, it was before that. When I was a freshman, I was offered to bid for a job for the United States Post Office in Randolph, Ohio, which was probably the size of your large walk-in closet in your master bedroom. That's how small the post office was. But I knew a lady that was postmaster in Ridgetown. She said, "Kathy, that job's position's open. You need to bid for it." And she showed me how to do it, to bid for the government. And I bid. At that time, I think minimum wage was $2.10. And I bid $4.20. She said, "Kathy, nobody's bid for it. Go for it." So I did, $4.20. Well, I got the bid. Now, it was a small part-time job. I worked, I think, 4 to 6 hours a week. And I cleaned this tiny little post office. A friend of mine was going into, and I know Terry Brown knows this, Campus Crusade for Christ. And for them to do that, it's kind of missionary work. I decided it seemed right to give him so much money a month. It just seemed right to give. When I went to the Methodist Church then, I heard about tithing, and I knew it was right. And, you know, I never looked at those around me, but I was the only one my age in that church that tithed. In fact, I was talking to Dole a couple months ago, and I said, I can only think of one other family in that church that tithed. But I want to share with you the verse that God showed me that caused me to do it, and it is in Luke 11:42. It's one of those verses that when you read it, kind of sneaks up on you. And it says in Luke 11:42, "But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These you ought to have done, and not leave the other undone." When I saw those words, Jesus said, "These you ought to have done," I realized I needed to tithe. And I worked as a waitress in a small restaurant. It was called Country Kitchen. They're all over the United States. And I have a book. I can't find it, but there's a book. Worked in the 70s. I think 77 was when I started tithing. In 78 and 79, you look in this book, and it shows every day I wrote down what I made in tips. Now, this was Country Kitchen, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs, and well, not hot dogs, hamburgers and ham sandwiches and stuff. I'd make $15.21 in tips. Well, then that Sunday, $1.51 would come out, and that would be my tithe. I tithed exactly 10%. That's all I knew. And, you know, I put myself through college with grants and loans and money from this restaurant that I made. And I told Doyle this morning, it amazed me that when I did my taxes that year, and you're talking about a country bumpkin, I don't even know if I declared my giving. I don't think I did, because I remember the short form. But you know, I made $5,000 in 1978. Tithing. And I had all my books paid for, all my college paid for. I lived in an apartment with a roommate, it was all paid for. All my bills got paid for. I drove a car with a monthly loan, paid for. Food was paid for, clothes. God supplied all my needs while I tithed. I never lacked. In fact, you have to understand. And I'm going to share this. Apparently, it's in my heart. My roommate in college was black. She and I were the best of friends. I got over a lot of fear of African Americans living with her. I found out she's just like me. I watched God supply my needs, tithing. I watched her struggle. And there were times I'd help her out because I was okay. She wasn't. We had the same job. She worked with me in the restaurant. We worked the same hours. There was one day she came to me and she said, "Kathy, you know, being college students, we could be on food stamps." And I said, "Oh, no." I said, "We're not going on food stamps." I said, "If I have to go on food stamps, I'm going home." God supplied all my needs through college. And that's given 10% of what little I made in a restaurant business. God is able. I saw then, way before I got to Water Life, God was able to take care of me if I obeyed that word. Amen.